What's up, world? This is Jesse Rich with Jesse Rich Podcast, and good morning to you Wednesday drivers. We are going to continue with the lore from League of Legends. We are going to do Soraka, Fiddlesticks, and maybe Maokai as well. It depends on how long they are. We know that Aerlyon Sol was a very long one. I didn't know if I was going to get to Bard, and then Bard was like five sentences. They really didn't work on his lore too much. Apparently, according to Soraka, she has four separate lores, so I think I'm going to read all four of them, and then we will get into Fiddlesticks, and depending after that, we might do Maokai. So we are sticking with the League of Legends lore. Give all credit to the writers of that. I did not create these stories. It is all the, I believe, the original ones were the Blizzard team, and now Riot also has teamed up for League of Legends, so I do not want to steal any credit from any of their work that they have done. But we are going to continue with the lore, so stay tuned. First lore of Soraka. Among the Ionians, Soraka is known as the Star Child, the first among equals, the High Priestess of Ionia, the ruler of all her peoples, and the sworn protector of their spirits. She is the most beautiful in her land and the most adept at tapping into the power of the heavens. During the Rune Wars, the Ionians were a peaceful people, never choosing sides, and steering clear of the conflicts that daily raged across Valoran. As a whole, they took an oath amongst themselves to strive for peace and only use their magic to right the wrongs that had been committed. But the Rune Wars knew no boundaries and respected no oaths. The more warlike Altrians took Ionia's passive stance as a sign of weakness and laid siege to the island realm. The Ionians managed to defend their homes, but at a terrible cost. Over half of the mages and soldiers from both sides were killed during the battle. A full moon cycle has passed since then, and Soraka has come to the Chambers of Justice to stand strong on behalf of her people. Though still bound by the oath, certain concessions have been made. If her healing magics do not prove enough to win the day, she has the authority to call upon much larger elemental forces to right the wrongs that have been committed. Going into her second lore. Though having fallen from grace, Soraka is nonetheless determined to once again be one with the stars. Soraka, the star child of Ionia, was the first of her kind. While there are many who tapped into the rich magical energies of Valoran, she has the first to tap into the magic of the cosmos. Reaching beyond the terrestrial firmament, Soraka was capable of invoking the power of the stars, evolving beyond her kin. That is, until she let her most primal of emotions rule her. Warwick, a mercenary chemist in the service of Noxus, had caused untold suffering and death amongst Soraka's people. Unstoppable anger and hatred, welled within her, and she cursed the man to become a beast. Soraka lost much of her power for this misstep, sliding several steps down the evolutionary ladder in an instant. Though she is still a champion of the Ionia people, Soraka has joined the League of Legends in hope to reversing her curse and redeeming herself in the eyes of the stars. Her third lore goes over the same thing. Let's see here. First of her kind, rich magical. Runeterra swims among other like bodies, while Runeterian magicians are limited by the finite through tremendous powers of ruins, there have always been those who have searched to go further, reaching beyond the terrestrial firmament of Runeterra. Soraka was capable of invoking the power of the stars, evolving beyond her kin. This power changed fantastical ways it is for her, going back over Warwick's suffering of her people and causing massive thing, and then they just recopied her joining the League of Legends. Going into her fourth lore, which is actually what she goes by now, and a lot more clear and in detail, we will go over this one fully. A healer, gifted with the magic of the stars, Soraka holds all living creatures close to her heart. She was once a celestial being, but she sacrificed her immortality to enter the world of the mortals. So long as evil threatens the life of Valoran, Soraka will not allow herself peace. Soraka lived for centuries in an enchanted grove. A being of the stars, she healed the wounded and the sick that sought her out. One man called Warwick came to her grove and begged her to heal his wife, who lay lifeless in his arms. His despair touched Soraka's heart. Though it was too late to save his wife, she offered to help heal the pain of his loss. Unwilling to let go of his grief, Warwick ran from the grove, but returned over the following days to hear Soraka's guidance. She began to grow attached to the grieving man. One day, Warwick told her he had found the men who killed his wife. He believed revenge would heal his pain, and if he died fighting, he would at least find peace. Though she pleaded with him, Warwick ignored her and left the grove. The voices of the stars warned her not to follow him, but Soraka had to intervene. She stepped into the mortal world for the first time and soon found Warwick desperately fighting a group of men. She tried to heal him, but for every wound she closed, the men inflicted two more. Soraka realized that she would have to fight to save her friend. The stars screamed in her mind, telling her not to use her powers for harm. Ignoring their warnings, she struck the attackers with a flash of brilliant light. Crying out in terror and shielding their eyes from her divine radiance, they fled. Soraka's celestial form faded, and the stars fell silent. For her transgression, she became mortal. She still felt the power of the stars within her, but they no longer offered her guidance. She took comfort in Warwick's safety, gently healing his wounds, but the man she had called her friend slipped a dagger between her ribs. As her blood spilled, Soraka realized he had fooled her, and everything he had done was a complicated ruse. Feeling humiliated and betrayed, she called once more on the power of the stars, searing his flesh and cursing his cruelty. He retreated with an agonizing howl, leaving Soraka to reflect upon her fate. Though her life had changed, she felt empowered and renewed with a singular purpose. No longer bound to the grove, Soraka set out into the mortal world, vowing to heal the wounded and protect the helpless. Next is Fiddlesticks. It's hunting us. It knows what we're afraid of. Something has awoken in Runeterra. Something ancient. Something terrible. the ageless horror known as Fiddlesticks stalks the edges of mortal society. Drawn to the areas thick with paranoia where it feeds upon terrorized victims. Wielding a jagged scythe, the haggard makeshift creature reaps fear itself, shattering the minds of those unlucky enough to survive in its wake. Beware the sounding of the crow or the whispering of the shape that appears almost human. Fiddlesticks has returned. Ancient fear. Long, long ago, in a tower by the edge of the sea, a foolish young mage summoned something into the world that he was not prepared to control. What stepped before the boy was something older than recorded history, something darker than a yawning starless night, something the world had desperately tried to forget, and in an instant, the mage, the creature, and the tower itself were lost to all of time. At least, that's what the story says. And the frill-jawed children frighten each other around the fire with tales of monsters that rises itself from unattended graves in the ice. Its body, the shambling mass of helmets, bucklers, furs, and wood. And bilgewater, drunken sailors trade accounts of something standing alone on a tiny, distant atoll from which no one has ever returned. An old Targaryen legend speaks of how a child of twilight stole the only joy from a ragged, whispering horror, while veteran Noxian soldiers prefer the feeble of a lonely farmhand who was blamed for a poor harvest and fled to the crows, later returning to the world as a demon. Dementia, Zental, Piltover, Ionia, and Shurima, every corner of Ruterra. These myths persist, reshaped, respun, and passed down by countless generations of storytelling, stories of a thing that looks almost human and stalks places thick with fear. But these are simply fables to frighten young children. No one would ever be afraid of a silly old monster called Fiddlesticks. Until now. Something has awoken in the Dementian Hinterlands, drawn by the climate of rising fear and paranoia. Rural protectorates, separated from the capital by hundreds of miles of farmland, are emptied in a mere days. Travelers vanish from the old footpaths. Guard patrols fail to report back from the edges of the kingdom. And wide-eyed survivors claw at their faces from the safety of roadside taverns. Wailing of crows that aren't crows, sounds that aren't sounds, and a lopsided horror in shape of a scarecrow that croaks in the stolen voices of the dead. Most blame rogue mages. Such accusations are common in these days of rebellion. Yet the truth is far worse. Something has returned, just as it had in the fictitious tale of the young mage in his seaside tower. An evil gone from the world for numerous centuries, long enough that the warnings of a nascent humanity passed into rumor, then myth, then legend, until all that remained were simple fables. An entity so utterly alien that it defines almost all contemporary knowledge of magic, so impossibly ancient that it has always been, so universally feared that even animals grow nervous when someone speaks its name. In the wake of this revival, another tale, nearly lost to memory, has seen a resurgence throughout the Hinterlands. a legend of a great evil that has no form, no thoughts, and no understanding of the world it inhabits, instead building itself into a cruel shape of those that fear it. The terror of all living things, giving life in that first terrible scream of creation, a demon before demons were known. At least, that's what the story says. But Fiddlesticks is real. Malachi. All around me are empty husks, soulless and unafraid, but I will bring them fear. Malachi is a rageful, towering tyrant who fights the unnatural horrors of the Shadow Isles. He was twisted into a force of vengeance after a magical cataclysm destroyed his home, surviving undeath only through the waters of life and fused with his heartwood. Once a peaceful nature spirit, Malachi now fiercely battles to banish the scourge of unlife from the Shadow Isles and restore his home to its former beauty. The Twisted Treant. Long before living memory, a chain of islands erupted from the deep beneath the ocean tides as blank states of rock and clay. With its creation, the nature spirit Malachi was born. He took the form of a treant, with his tall body covered with bark and long limbs resembling branches. Malachi felt the profound loneliness of the land and its potential for the teeming growth. He wandered from island to island in search of signs of life, growing ever more forlorn in his solitude. On a hilly isle covered with soft, rich soil, Malachi senses the boundless energy radiating from deep beneath the ground. He plunged his great roots downward until he reached a spring of magical, life-giving water and drank deeply. From the potent liquid, he gains hundreds of saplings and planted them across the islands. Soon the land was shawled with verdant forest, groves of towering verpine, and tangled woods, all steeped in wondrous magic. Magnificent sky trees with expansive canopies and thickly winding roots cover the aisles with lush green foliage. Nature spirits were drawn to the lavish vegetation and animals revealed in the fertile greenery. When humans eventually came to the islands, they too thrived in the land's abundance and formed an enlightened society of scholars devoted to studying the world's mysteries. Though Malachi was weary of their presence, he saw how they respected the sanctity of the land. Sensing the deep magic within the woods, the humans built their homes in areas not heavily forested to avoid disturbing any nature spirits. Malachi occasionally revealed himself directly to those he trusted and blessed them with the knowledge of the Verdant Isles, even its greatest gift, the underground spring that could heal mortal wounds. Centuries passed and Malachi lived in idyllic contentment, until fleeting soldiers from across the sea breached upon the shores of the isles. Malachi sensed something was terribly wrong. Their grief-maddened king bored the corpse of his queen in hopes to reviving her, bathing her decaying flesh in the healing waters. Reanimated as a rotting corpse, the queen begged to return to death. The king sought to reverse what he had done, unwittingly casting a terrible curse upon the land. From leagues away, Malachi felt the first ripples of the disaster that would soon devastate the Isles. He sensed a horrific force gathering beneath the soil, and a bitter chill washed over him. As the ruination spread, Malachi desperately plunged his roots deep into the ground and drank from the healing waters, saturating every fiber of his being with their magic before the cursed waters reached him. Malachi withdrew his roots, severing all connections to the pool. He howled in rage as the sacred reservoir he had entrusted to men was fully corrupted, the spiraling coils churning underwater until nothing pure remained. Moments later, the mist surrounding the islands blackened and spread over the land, trapping all living things in an unnatural state between life and death. Malachi watched in helpless agony as all he knew, plants, nature spirits, animals, and human alike, twisted into wretched shades. His fury grew. The great beauty he had cultivated from tiny saplings fell to ruin in an instant at a careless hand of man. The enervating mist coiled around Malachi, and he wept as the bright flowers adorning his shoulders crumbled and fell to dust. His body shuddered and contorted into a mass of gnarled roots and tangled branches as the mist leached life from him. But Malachi's heartwood was saturated with the precious waters of life, saving him from the terrible fate of undeath. As grotesque wraiths and horrific abominations flooded the land, Malachi was overcome by a host of lifeless men. He struck the spirits with the branch-like limbs and mantic violence, realizing the force of his blows could shatter them into dust. Malachi shuddered with revulsion. He never killed before. He flew at the breathless shapes in a frenzy, but hundreds more overwhelmed him, and eventually he was forced to retreat. With his home all but decimated and his companions turned to deathless horrors, Malachi was tempted to try and escape the nightmare of the Isles. But from deep within his twisted form, he felt the sacred waters giving him life. He had survived the ruination by carrying the very heart of the islands with him, and he would not abandon his home now. As the Blessed Isles' first nature spirit, he would remain and fight for the soul of the land. Though surrounding by endless hosts of malicious foes and darkening mist, Malachi fights with furious vengeance to conquer the evil that plagues his isles. His only pleasure comes from dealing savage violence to the soulless wraiths who roam his land. Some days Malachi subdues the mist and its deathless spirits, breaking their hold on the grove of the trees and the small thicket. Though new life has not bloomed in such a cursed soil for an age, Malachi strives to carve havens. However, temporarily free from regret and decay. So as long as Malachi continues to fight, hope remains, for steep within his heartwood are the uncorrupted waters of life, the last remaining chance of restoring the Isles. If the land returns to its joyous state, Malachi too will shed his twisted form. The nature spirits brought life to these Isles long ago, and he refuses to rest until the Isles bloom once more. And there was Soraka, Fiddlesticks, and Malachi's Lores. Thank you for listening. Please let your friends and family know. Please support my Anchor. Also, if you're into it, check out my Twitch. I stream League of Legends and other Riot games at the moment. And like always, love y'all. Later.